You are listening to Street Roots Radio on X-Ray FM. I'm Hannah Francis. Street Roots Radio is a collaboration between X-Ray FM, KBOO Radio, and local publication Street Roots. Street Roots is a nonprofit organization in Portland, Oregon that creates income opportunities for people experiencing homelessness and poverty by producing a newspaper and other media that are catalysts for individual and social change. Today, I have here with me Street Roots correspondent Emma Claire Ambrosiak to talk about her article, Leading Through Disarray, With Federal Funding Uncertain, Community Organizations Come Together During Pride Month to Provide HIV Prevention Services and Education About Trans Rights and Safer Sex. Thanks so much for being here with me, Emma.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So your article talks about a lot of different things, but also focuses mostly on how overall funding for HIV and like funding for addressing HIV in communities is slowing down. So could you just tell me a little bit about what you're seeing in like kind of a broad scale?
Yeah, I think broadly, the main concern is just that there's a lot of uncertainty right now, especially federally. I think at the state level, there's slightly less uncertainty, but there's concerns about how the federal administration is maybe removing funding from the CDC, which funds so many different organizations across the US and several organizations here in Oregon that have been working for decades to reduce HIV through testing, through medical services. And so we're seeing a lot of local organizations lose funding from CDC, which for many is their biggest funder. And because of that, there's this period of uncertainty where at the end of June, several of these organizations have 5-year, 6-year contracts ending and don't know if they'll be renewed. And they're looking for alternate forms of funding in this moment, but it's very up in the air.
Yeah, thanks for that context. So your article also states that rates of HIV in Oregon and around the country are actually rising, but before 2020, HIV rates were declining. So what reasons were you able to find about this?
Yeah. Well, I think before 2020, rates of HIV were broadly declining because there were a lot of community initiatives to come together to discuss HIV and to provide in-person testing services. And when the pandemic hit, everyone kind of just hunkered down, and a lot of these in-person testing services, in-person community dialogues and organizations kind of just slowed down and had to be mindful of the COVID pandemic and social isolation. And so, yeah, part of it is that the pandemic kind of put a stop in all of the work that had been in motion for several years before that to lead to declining HIV rates. But part of it too is that the pandemic changed our data for HIV. And when I say changed our data, I mean that it impacted how much data we were able to collect about HIV rates and HIV testing, because fewer people were able to access in-person services. So then fewer rates of HIV were then documented, fewer rates of testing were documented. And so the pandemic kind of skewed our data for HIV in a sense. And I know that in my conversations with CAP for this article, that was kind of a consideration of, we actually don't have all the data that we need to have like the most educated decision, because we're still kind of, you know, getting those in-person numbers back up. So a lot of organizations have been in motion since the pandemic to continue the work from before of reducing HIV rates. But I think especially in recent years with the Trump administration, there's been a lot of dialogue around HIV and around the LGBTQ communities. And that's impacting how much money the CDC is getting. So
So yeah, let's talk about a few of the organizations that you have in your article here. Will you tell me a little bit about the HIV Alliance? What is this organization and what does it do?
HIV Alliance is an organization based in Eugene. It serves people living with HIV and also those at greatest risk of getting HIV, and it has a focus on serving rural and underserved communities. And this is through a combination of HIV and STI screening, free condoms, syringe exchange, a little bit of everything. But HIV Alliance has a focus on rural communities because that's where a lot of Oregonians don't have as much access to medical care. Especially a lot of people in rural communities have to drive up to 30, 40, 50 minutes an hour to access a clinic, which isn't always financially feasible for folks. Sometimes people aren't able to find childcare to be able to do that, or the clinic near them just doesn't offer HIV prevention services. So you'll see when you look at rates of HIV in Oregon that they're actually highest in rural counties. And so HIV Alliance is one of the organizations that's really looking at what they can do to provide more care for Oregonians in rural counties.
Yeah, it sounds like really important work. So, a large part of their funding comes from the Center for Disease Control. And what does the future of that funding look like for them?
It's uncertain. So they have had a 5-year contract with CDC, and it was supposed to renew July 1st, so in about a week. But they heard that that funding wouldn't be renewed, and they heard that it would be renewed, and then it wouldn't be renewed. And now, like day by day, we're getting closer to July 1st, and there's still no contract, there's no certainty, no communication from CDC. And so a lot of the leaders at HIV Alliance are working to find other forms of funding, whether through state level funding, county level funding, city level funding, philanthropic organizations, individual donors. There's a lot of different sources of funding and funding streams in Oregon, especially for HIV prevention, but it's going to require a lot more piecing together little bits from here and there. Whereas with the CDC funding, that was a significant portion that funded several staff positions that made up a large part of their HIV prevention work.
Oh, yeah. So next, would you tell me about the organization which you mentioned a little bit earlier, CAP, which is also called the Cascade AIDS Project? What do they do, and how would they be impacted by a loss of CDC funding?
Much like HIV Alliance, CAP also receives a lot of funding from the CDC for its prevention programs. CAP is it's an organization that does a lot. It does a little bit of everything. HIV Alliance is a little bit more focused on rural counties. CAP is a little bit more, it covers several counties in Oregon, but it has a bit more emphasis on Multnomah County. And actually, the CDC funding that CAP will be losing will probably most directly impact Multnomah County. And so, yeah, without federal funding, CAP would lose 5 full-time employees out of a staff of only 14 that works on prevention efforts, which is a pretty significant amount, more than a third. This might show up in clinics like Pivot, which I think a lot of Portlanders might be familiar with. It's on Southeast Belmont. It offers free drop-in testing for HIV, syphilis, chlamydia, gonorrhea, for anyone and everyone, regardless of whether or not they provide identification documents, regardless of whether or not they have documented status. It's a very, like, just free, all-access resource that does a lot of prevention work in Portland. And so that's just one of CAP's locations that might be impacted by this. Yeah, Edgar Mendez, who's CAP's director of prevention, said that the CDC funding is approximately 30% of their overall operating costs. So, much like HIV Alliance is right now, CAP is facing a lot of uncertainty, and as the contract comes to a close at the end of June in this next week, and Yeah, we're seeing this across Oregon. We're also seeing this all across the country, dozens of organizations like Cascade AIDS Projects, like HIV Alliance, that are doing testing work, that are doing prevention work, that are connecting people to medical care, are just really in limbo right now, which is a really confusing and uncertain place to be when it comes to staff positions, when it comes to the organization's long-term work, and when it comes to maintaining decades of prevention work that have brought us to where we are today. Because when you look at countries across the US, Oregon is, it has relatively low rates of HIV, and that is a direct result of the prevention work that these organizations have been doing for a long time.
I mean, yeah, the work they do is so important. And you also mention in your article that some of that work is even just like reducing the stigmas around HIV and making it easier for people with HIV to live with it. Will you tell me a little bit about what some of those ways that they're doing that are?
Yeah, I think when it comes to reducing stigma, a lot of what these organizations are doing is providing a safe space to come together to just discuss HIV. Because in so many spaces for such a long time, it was very taboo. It was very scary. There was a lot of misunderstandings, misconceptions. And so part of it is providing a safe space for people living with HIV or people at high risk of contracting HIV, just to come together and discuss it and find community and people with shared experiences who are also navigating the shame and the stigma and also the grief and loss of relationships, jobs, of other communities. So I think the community building aspect was a recurrent theme throughout my conversations with these organizations, as well as community education initiatives, which are similar in that they bring people together to have these conversations, but they also kind of get down to the basics and the logistics of what is HIV? What are the symptoms? When do they show up? What can you expect? What are the treatments and the medications? How does this treatment compare to decades ago? And kind of reassuring people through the facts of science and modern medicine that it is treatable and you can get to a point where your HIV status can't even be like tracked really. And so kind of reducing fear through educational initiatives.
Yeah, and you also mentioned that another organization that's partnering with CAP using CDC funding is Familias en Acción, which is an organization that's doing like some of this harm reduction work around HIV. Will you tell me a little bit more about what services they offer and also just like some of the barriers that they've had to work around specifically within like Spanish-speaking communities?
Yeah, absolutely. So Familias en Acción is one of CAP's many partners in Oregon. It works specifically to support Latina communities in the Portland metro area, but also in other parts of Oregon to access healthcare and education. And yeah, part of that is having a deep understanding of what Spanish-speaking and immigrant and Latina communities are encountering when it comes to accessing medical care, and specifically when it comes to having conversations about HIV and accessing testing. So when I talked with Isla Rosen, who is the sexual health program manager at Familias, she talked a lot about how community members encounter transportation barriers, lack of childcare coverage, as well as fear of federal immigration enforcement as factors impacting the Latinas' abilities to access medical care, especially in rural areas of Oregon, where a lot of these communities are low income. Kind of like I mentioned before, a lot of these communities might live really far from a clinic and not have the time and or money to drive to those clinics. And then there's also an element of cultural stigma, which is broadly a very intersectional issue. And you see the stigma showing up in so many different cultures and so many different communities across the US. But I think in each community and in Latina communities, there's each community has its own brand of that. And so I think Isla was very intentional about not like making generalizations about how each community experiences HIV stigma and experiences access to medical care. And she really reiterated that it's a very intersectional issue, and you see this stigma kind of broadly playing into stigma with the LGBT community, stigma with just sexual identity, gender identity, and also it ties into access to healthcare and the systems that we have in place to provide that for the people in our communities.
Yeah, thank you so much for your reporting on this. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I think I just like to say that it's really wonderful to have the chance to speak with so many of these organizations that are doing really important work in a scary time and who are finding ways to remain hopeful, even if it's hard, and we're finding ways and getting creative about looking for alternate forms of funding. There's a lot of uncertainty and confusion right now, and you see that in your conversations with all of these organizations. So yeah, it's very reassuring to see there's so many people in this community doing this work.
You've been listening to Street Roots Radio with Street Roots correspondent Emma Ambrosiak. For X-Ray FM, I'm Hannah Francis.